Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is, wait, hold up. My birthday was Monday, right? So it's the 10th. Uh-oh. It's the 10th. October 10th. Somebody in the back coughing. I ain't going to say why, but they coughing. What up, bro?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm good, man. Got a couple guests here today. Yeah. Nye's out of town. She's somewhere in Europe.
Yeah. She gallivanting.
Gallivanting. She could be anywhere right now.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe in Spain eating some paella. In France eating some bread. In Italy eating some spaghetti.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs or some shit. Well, ladies, introduce yourselves. I'm going to make your talk.
Okay. I'm Kia.
And my name is Ayana.
Ayana.
Friends to the show.
Yes.
Friends to the show.
Fans Thanks. Of the
How
show.
Are you guys?
Yeah, fans of the
Kia's
show.
My homie.
Yeah.
We share all the secrets.
Yeah.
All of them.
All of the bodies.
All of everything.
Deep.
Kia, if you ever tell on me, I'm...
She knows where the bodies are buried.
Don't worry.
Well, we both know each other bodies are buried.
I'll be the one to delete your text messages and your browser history.
Please. Jesus Christ. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for stepping in. Give us the ladies' perspective.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait. I know, Kia, you from Harlem.
I am from Harlem.
And where are you from?
I'm from Teaneck, New Jersey.
You're from Teaneck? Yes. Okay. You were born and raised there with high school there and all that stuff?
All that good stuff. Jersey girl, 100%.
So I'm definitely not asking your age.
Yeah.
But, like, so you know, like, Lenny and all them. Lenny the Barber and all them dudes. Are they older than you, probably? They're older than you. She wasn't in that Jersey wave.
No.
Okay, that was a good wave. I got a little flashback just now. Think about
way
that
back
wave.
In the day.
Because Lenny, he's a piece of shit. But Lenny, the thing about Lenny, what he did, which was fly, was he was cutting heads in Harlem, but he lived in Inglewood.
Mm-hmm.
So then he started throwing parties and these other people, whatever. But then what Lenny would do is, no disrespect, but a lot of the people from Jersey didn't really like to come to the city. So Lenny having parties in the city made all the Jersey people would come. Because they're like, oh, Lenny, it's our homeboy.
Yeah, yeah.
So then niggas from Ireland would meet all these Jersey girls. Like, yo, I'm in the chip of my class, you popping. So, like, Lenny really bridged that Harlem-Jersey gap when he was doing his parties. It was a good one.
Absolutely.
Good one. It was a great one.
Absolutely. People in Jersey still like to hang out in Jersey, but it's nice to come over to the city.
Yeah, and you're right, Teaneck, so you're not far.
Not at all.
But if you start going a little further out, like, them cats, they ain't coming, man.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's a whole different music scene as well.
Yeah, the house music
like,
stuff and
outside
all that.
Of Bergen County, it's like house music.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Bergen County.
So do you party in Jersey sometimes, too?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
What's the hot spot in Jersey?
I wouldn't say there are any hot spots. There's local spots.
what's the hot local spot? Put us up on game.
Give shout-outs to Regina's on
Teaneck
Road.
Ow! You told me about Cuban Pete's, right? You said it'd be popping over there.
Well, I said, it's not a club, but
you said it'd be popping like
live.
That. Yeah,
you like,
that's more in Montclair, though, right?
No, it's right in Montclair. I go to the cigar shop at Fumé, which is directly across the street.
Okay.
So we would get overflow in the cigar shop when they had the wait. Because you can't make reservations at Cuban Pete.
Oh.
And they don't sit your party unless
you're all there.
So all that party attend, but
and
only
three of us. Earl on the way.
None of that shit. So Earl better pull that wheelchair up here in the front before we sit him down.
So you end up getting overflow
so
people
you get
waiting.
A ton of overflow, especially in the spring and in the summer.
Of course, when the weather's nice.
And that's right up the street from Wellmont Theater, which is now like a real concert venue.
Okay.
Like you get it's a real concert venue. It's not like, oh, we just over here.
Yeah.
Cause we over here.
Yeah. It ain't just like the Blue Magic, but like the other Blue Magic with one of them.
Nah, this is like a real legit venue. You know, so there's a lot in that little corridor. There's a lot happening over there. Okay. And I think about Jersey, the only bad thing or the thing I would say is different is that when you're at the spot, you're at the spot.
Yeah.
It's not like in Manhattan. Like, hey, I'm a park on 26 because I got four different places I could go. I could pop through. If this one ain't popping, I can go here. You know, when you in Jersey, bro, you definitely ain't trying to get back on that turnpike or Route 3. You like, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here till it's open. I'm going home.
Yeah, this motherfucker gonna happen today while I'm here.
Exactly. And then I'm going to the crib. It's done. So, yeah, we're gonna get him onto your little Jersey life. Why you look at me like that?
Oh, no.
Give
me
a little light side eye. Got side eyed last week by Tasha from Charlotte, and I'm getting side eyed by Anna from Jersey. Damn. What's going on with me? And it's my birthday week.
Happy birthday,
Slay. Yeah, happy birthday. Bro.
Having a little event.
Even though you don't want to tell anybody how old you are, but I think I know. I think I remember.
I'm
and
like,
I'm keep your secret.
36.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Or 75.
I'm telling you, there's a picture of Jeff in college.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaning on a car that is absolutely a 70-something.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you know he was actually in college? Maybe he was just visiting
I was in college, but think about that car was. You know, that was somebody's daddy's car.
That car wasn't that old.
That car passed
even
down.
Even
if, hey, take this old. Take this old juice in the corner of the school with you.
I think you might have been leaning on you in the corner.
You know what I'm saying? I just changed the spark plugs. You can cue me. How you make it down there? You know what I'm saying? Shit, I ain't telling nothing. Somebody gonna end up diming me out though.
Nah.
But yeah, I'm having a little event Saturday. I don't want to say because I don't want too crazy. The place ain't that big. But those who are invited, I'm looking forward to seeing you Saturday night in Harlem. We're gonna have a good time, Harlem style.
Yep.
Peace to my man DJ Goldfinger who came through in the clutch DJing. So the music gonna be on point. We got some fun. I got a photo booth.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You know your girl, Malika.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yo, bro, I got the photo. Yo, bro, I got the cake hookup. You talk to her? Yo, she going to call you. She got the cake. So you going to put your face on the top.
Shout out to Malika.
She's the ride or die. Yeah. So let's jump on into it. I don't know who saw this, but... let's do this one first. I don't know who saw this, but... did anybody see the Ayanna Van Zant and Braxton's?
Sure did.
Yeah. I watched the second.
Did you watch the second episode?
I saw the second and the first. I went back to watch the first.
I got to say, just from a TV perspective, it was one of the best kind of like reality ever. You was riveted. Mm-hmm. Like, you was locked. It wasn't no dull moments. So they basically had a crossover thing where Ayanna Van Zant came to fix the lives of the Braxtons. And it was all of them, minus the son who never comes out. But it was the mother, the father, and, you know, all the girls. And, you know, it was a lot going on with the girls now, well, women, but the girls now. A lot of animosity between them. And Ayanna, you know, to her credit, was calling a lot of shit out. Like, a lot. Her and Tamar really got into it. Because Tamar was acting a goddamn fool.
She was being herself.
But it's like, yo.
Extra.
But just be normal a little bit. Like, all that twisting and jumping and face making. It's like, golly. What is wrong with... My opinion on Tamar is like... And I only kind of alluded to this. It feels like she's stuck being six. Maturity wise, like, she's like just the youngest one that's always gonna do everything they can for attention, and no matter where they got it, as long and Ayanna, you know, figured it out that the mom, from the time she was a child, allowed the other girls would get popped in the mouth or whatever if they did some shit. Tamar never got punished, so that's why she acts like that, because there's never any consequences. That's why when she does that, the other girls just sit there. And just wait for it to blow over like that. Go, just Tamar being Tamar. Mm-hmm. But it's just, obviously, as she's getting older, she's 41. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse, you know, so. But, bro, what you thought about it?
I think...
You always got a different perspective.
Well, my different perspective is, I don't understand why the father was there.
Really?
Every single time they talk about that man, They only talk about him being absent. If he's that absent, why the fuck is he here? Like my point is, I'm just saying.
Why now?
Like,
why is he here?
Dead serious. Like, if him being an absentee father, right, not being there, whether it was him cheating on your mom and all of the stuff that came with that, or whether it was him just being overworked and just literally not being there, right? Like, you can't. Like, you're asking him to be a part of something that he hasn't been a part of for 40 years. Yeah. Like, the nigga's been disengaged for 40 years, and now we're, like, asking you to, like, come and give us answers. Exactly. And you know, the mom, what I noticed, man, is that she mean as a rattlesnake, man.
She's the mean church lady.
Old school church lady mean.
Yeah, exactly.
That will pinch the fuck out of your thigh while your mom's in the quiet stand. You're like, oh my God, what did I do?
Exactly, what did I do?
So you see that sort of manifest, and it was kind of spot on how Ayanna says, like, Tamar does what the mom wants to do.
What she's thinking,
right? And can't really do it.
Which is probably why she never punished her, because she's like, you're my outlet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, and I think it's interesting too, because they all sort of submit to some degree to Tamar. Yeah.
They do.
Because there's a point in growing up that, like, enough of this shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's usually around that, like, 22 to 25 area where it's like, nah, we're not doing this no more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And they've never really done that. And they've allowed her to do that. And you know why? And here's the dirty little secrets as to why. Okay? Because when things were going good with Tamar and you needed light bill paid.
A little $5,000.
You need a little something, a little piece of change. You know, the school tuition calling. For the daycare, guess what? The wires was coming through,
she was breaking
right?
You off,
and so the how can I word this? Like the level of relationship change, the dynamics of those relationships.
She kind of became the older sister.
She becomes the big sister.
Yeah.
And she becomes the person who dictates everything.
Yep.
Except to Tony. And if you look, there's a clear hierarchy in that sisterhood. There is a clear, is a defined and clear hierarchy in that sisterhood. They know their place. Mm-hmm. They do not, none of them like that place.
Yeah.
They don't accept those places, but they know those roles and they know they have to do it. It was really gratifying to see Tony actually come clean.
Yeah, like, I don't like none of y'all.
Yo, think about that, man. Like,
she said, I don't like my family. And she's like, and I mean none of y'all.
Yo, when she like, said, like when she said if you weren't my family, we wouldn't even be friends.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's true.
Like, nigga, I'd have walked out.
Yeah.
Like, I would have, like, that would have been, and, like, nigga, I'm gone.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, you ain't going to be my friend.
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't call me, nigga?
Yeah,
like,
you call me?
You know, like, come on.
No, what else I picked up, which was interesting, and I only didn't pick up on this, but, so, in that crazy dynamic of the family, Tracy and the dad seem to be pretty close. Because they live close. They both still live in Baltimore. So they see each other a lot. And so I think part of the reason that the other sisters, especially Tamar, who has, like, mad beef with the pops, still doesn't fuck with Tracy is because they look at Tracy as, you picked his side. Mm. Like, you picked... We don't fuck with daddy.
Maybe.
But you do. So if you fuck with daddy... Then I ain't fucking with you. Like, that's, I kind of got that, because even at the show, Tracy and the father came together.
Yep. Yeah, they sit together.
They sit together. You know what I'm saying?
Totally get that. Again, the dynamics of those relationships are one that are especially, like, jarring. So, like, when they talk about a boycott, and I'm saying to myself, okay, we're going to do a boycott. We're going to do some shit as a family. Then we got to collectively figure out how motherfuckers are paying their bills.
How they gonna survive.
Right? That's the only fair way to me. To simply tell me, hey, don't go to work, but Trina and Tawanda sing background for Tony. Tony's still going on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar's still doing her shows and her other appearances and things like that.
Tracy, a regular girl from Baltimore.
Tracy's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I'm supposed to just go back to being a greeter at the Walmart?
Exactly.
And like, make, like, she's like, yo, I gotta mm-hmm. work.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought it was a little selfish to just assume that and not have a collective plan.
Yeah.
To simply say it is, and also too, man, to even put someone in that position, I think is very selfish. And I think they're all kind of selfish and entitled. And
yeah.
I think they felt that way since Tony soared.
Yeah.
The moment that Tony took off, I think they've all.
It's like it felt like it was their career,
and not just it was their career, but they were entitled to the benefits that came with the Superstar Syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, they were supposed to get all of that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nigga, y'all gotta do, like, nigga, Randy played the Congos, nigga. Like, y'all gonna do something, nigga. Joe was like, you gonna learn to do something.
Yeah, yeah, you ain't just gonna be right.
Okay, you gonna do something.
Yeah.
Or you can't be on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah.
So for me, I it's just interesting to sort of watch how, I mean, and they scratched the surface. And God bless Ayanla, right? That they even...
She went deeper than anybody else did. And like you said, there's still like a lot of levels to go.
They scratched the surface. If I'm being honest here, I thought they were being honest. I don't think that they were really digging into the shit that really bothered them.
I think they did, though. But I feel like they wrapped it up. Like, the production was great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was kind of wrapped up and tied up in a bow at the end, right? Because mm-hmm. at first, you were just like, whoa, what's happening? And then at the end, you know, Tamar said, she apologized to everybody.
Yeah,
it was like, okay,
hugs
it did
and
well.
Kisses and shit.
But when I went back, because I didn't know the history of it, when I went back and did some research, like on Twitter, just to see what people were saying, people kind of mentioned that, you know, what she said on her Twitter, like right after did the show,
like she was
when she went on Wendy Williams. So she mentioned on Wendy Williams that she had been, I guess, molested by both sides of her family, and she kind of felt like Ayanla exploited that. And then that's not what we saw on the show. When they edited that out.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, there was a lot that was going on that we didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows? Tamar has her issues or whatever. And
also, the mom, I mean, look. Okay,
maybe
so
the
they've
family
been
knows about it.
Been
you know, maybe that's why they act like that with her and let her get away
very,
with stuff.
And that's
who
a
knows?
Very,
we don't know.
It's a very churchy thing.
Yeah.
Listen.
We knew about that shit.
Leave
you know, just don't leave so-and-so up there.
Just
make sure that door's open.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
you
right.
know how
Earl, come back down these stairs.
Yeah. It's quiet up there.
Quiet up there. What's going on?
It's funny, but it's not funny.
The mom, man, like, so her and the dad been divorced, I think, like 18 years or so total.
Wow.
Nigga, a long time.
And you still mad like it happened yesterday.
She, listen.
Well, did we ever find out what it was? Maybe he
cheated, but this is what I took it as. Because the one part that I really liked was when Ayanna did those little breakouts with just the one-on-ones. She was getting a lot of information from them. And she talked to the dad one-on-one. There's a one-on-one with the dad that's online, but it wasn't the show. And the dad was basically like, look, I was mad unhappy. Like, she's mean. She says, like, crazy shit. Like, and after a while, he's like, yo, I just became passive because I didn't want to hear it. I just kind of went along to get along. So I think what happened was, after a while, he said, I hated coming home. Because when I came home, it was trash. So then I think when he met old girl, who he married, he messed with her for 9 years, dude. Before he, you know, left the crib. And I think once he left the crib, he was like, I hate it for y'all kids, but I ain't trying to see your mother anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's right for that because he abandoned him. Mm-hmm. But I think he just totally, when he got free, he was like, wow. I'm gone. And then the mom, being the bully that she is, I think she was just like stunned, like, how dare you, like,
leave
what? Like, you
yeah,
don't leave
right?
me?
Yeah, yes. Leave me with all these kids. But she's never found her stride. That's the problem. That's really, in my opinion, that's her issue. Her issue is she's never been able to find that level of happiness, right? So when you look at, for example, you look at Tina.
Miss Tina, yeah.
Right? And you see
you
that.
Black Love?
I saw that episode.
So she goes through, you know, everything she went through, all the public humiliation, all of that shit. But when she hits that stride,
yeah.
Like, she sheds that shit.
Yeah.
At least to us. Yeah. At least to us. Yeah. She sheds that shit. She finds a man.
She looks happy.
You're like, holy shit. Like, we didn't even know this person existed prior
she
to
like,
that.
Actually, like, goofy on the ground.
She's smiling. Looks like a mean old country lady.
Yeah. Sony building.
Now she's laughing and dancing.
And doing all.
Jumping off of.
Exactly.
The corny joke.
Yeah.
The corny joke. Yeah. Yes. And so when I look at, like, first of all, Miss Evelyn is still an attractive woman for her age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Deacon Cecil and CW and like, all them old
like
niggas.
Like, take it down to the Applebee's.
All them old niggas. Them old niggas trying to keep time. Please believe it. You know what I'm saying? So,
I'll take it to a little dance they haven't done.
But I think that she is... We're going to Sadie Hawkins.
Down to Sadie Hawkins there. Down to the lodge.
You know so, but I think that she is so guarded,
for so many
reasons, and I think that again, I think a part of that is feeling like you know, hey, I kind of gotta take care of this family. I'm kind of alone, and I think that there's some blame to all kind of go around, but she still doesn't seem to like acknowledge her part in any of this shit.
She's
you know what I'm saying? Well, and not just a victim, but like, it's just because, right? Like, these lives that are happening.
He doesn't want to look like the bad guy.
Yes.
Or,
yes. You know. And listen, as a parent, it is very difficult to look at your child having terrible habits and knowing that you either A, contributed to that or enabled them to behave that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? She showed her ass. With Tamar, you know why? Because that's a church mother being embarrassed.
Yeah, like you're taking this way too far.
You weren't, she said, you weren't raised like that way. Exactly. Tamar's 41 years old.
So that was a reflection of her.
It wasn't that you were doing something that I disapprove of, but you're doing, like,
this making me look bad.
Making me look bad. Yeah. I raised y'all better than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you could definitely tell there was ass whoopings in that house smooth into their 20s.
Because all of them were shook. When she started to bark at Tamar, because the way they were seated, it was like Miss Evelyn was here, Trina was next to her, and then Tamar was next to Trina. So she's talking across Trina to Tamar. And... Trina did something innocently. Like, I think she, like, moved. Mm-hmm. Just did something. And Miss Evelyn turned her and was like, and she was like, I'm sorry, mommy. I'm sorry, mommy.
She
I don't want
to
know. I got this. And Trina was like, okay, mommy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like she was five. Like, don't whip me.
Wow.
Like, don't hit me.
It was like,
don't hit me. Now, Trina's like 44.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't hit me. Okay, mommy. Don't hit me. No, like she didn't say don't hit me, but that was her tone. Like, mom, I'm sorry, mommy. I didn't mean to say anything.
They were absolutely terrified.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you get the chance, it's all on YouTube. If you get to watch this, it's very interesting. You know, I'm a big Ayanna fan. I get shit at the job about that.
Me too. I like Ayanna.
I like Ayanna too. I
feel like
when she
asks
do that
the
auntie
questions
cackle.
That you
do that auntie cackle. I'm telling you, I'm positive. I know that pound cake is fire.
Popping.
I know
and
it's
she's using
fire.
Like four sticks of butter.
All the butter in the crib.
All the butter.
Go on the store. Get me some more butter. bro, you got to sit this one out. But I got to mention that Fab was indicted today.
That's
for domestic crazy. Violence on Emily. Four felony charges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could get him 20 years, you know, if all convicted and to the hilt, which, you know, I don't think so. I'm just bringing this up because it's obviously a really weird situation because, you know, him and Emily have gotten, engaged recently and they seem to be back and doing whatever they're doing. So... That gets tricky because he's looking at her like, you know, niggas, like, yo, it's your fault. And Emily's like, I didn't press the charges. Like, the county did. It's not her.
So the county pressed the charges after the video surfaced?
Yes.
And we don't know who put out the video. We don't really know exactly who.
Rumor is that the rumor was that the daughter took the video. From the house. But I'm not saying that she's the one who sent it out, but
once it got out, it's
it uploaded up to WorldStar and all that other shit, and that's out.
So
and
they had to do something.
They guess they had to do something. So this is, it's going to be interesting, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Sheesh. I don't know.
That is interesting. And we don't know if they really got married. That's
that's been rumors as well. If they got married and stuff. And
they probably did. I mean, see that happening.
Like, I mean, they're definitely still together.
Because they're going to try to beat that case together. Yeah.
But I don't know if Emily... Again, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm talking shit, but I don't know if Emily has any sway in the case at this point. I think it's past her.
Well, I mean, there's a video, so she probably won't have to testify if she's his wife against him.
Yeah.
But there's a video, so, you know, it probably does make it a little bit easier that she doesn't have to testify and they can just fight the video now.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
It would make it a little bit easier, I would say, but...
I mean, how old is Fab? About 42?
41. Because, no, he might be... he's like 2 years younger than me.
So to have that hanging over your
head... He's like 40, 41.
Having jail hanging over your head at any age, but in your 40s, has got to be like...
In serious time.
Yeah, like real shit. Like, 4 felony charges? That's got to be stressful.
I think
they're
going to figure that out.
Okay, no comment. I just wanted to mention because it was news and I felt like we should say something about it. Any of y'all watch the MMAs? The AMAs?
I watched. Intently, but I had it on.
The award shows are so different now.
Well, first of all, AMAs is really white for the most part. It's very pop.
It's you know what I thought when I turned to it? I said, this is the MTV Awards circa like 1987.
Yeah, literally.
This would have been the MTV Awards. When I look at the crowd, I'm like, first of all, like, who are y'all?
Who are y'all? Yeah.
But, you know, God bless. I mean, I kind of think I flipped to it. I might have flipped to it for a few minutes. And I started watching some shit on ESPN.
Yeah, I watched Missy and Sierra because Malika called me.
I missed that. I taped it, though, because I knew they were coming up, but then I flipped. And I said, I'm gonna end up missing them, so I recorded it from the Cardi B performance on. I caught the Cardi B performance.
Yeah, so I watched that. I watched Cardi today, and I watched the Aretha tribute, which ended the show.
I like that.
Which was great, but it was bugged because it was like having black church in a suburb. Everybody in the audience is like, okay. Oh, it was, because it was, did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, bruh.
It was church?
Bruh. Mary. CC Winans, Gladys Knight, Donnie McClurkin, and Lettucey.
Oh, I miss Donnie McClurkin.
That's who performed. And they had the choir. They had the choir in the back.
Okay.
Like the black people and they sung like.
And you said Gladys Knight?
Gladys Knight opened up. Yeah, like
they sang like church records. Sang
Amazing Grace and like going up the yonder, like
which I think is dope because we really do forget. That's her roots.
Yeah. But it was just kind of wild seeing that black of a church experience in that venue.
Yeah.
It was like, if that was at BET Awards, niggas would be
happy. Usher come down, put a circle around them.
Fam.
Get the prayer cloth.
All that. It
I'm not
going
to
front.
I was happy to see... CeCe Winans.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah, she sounded good.
Amazing.
I mean, they all sounded
good. Sounds great.
And it was like, you know,
yeah.
It was that. It was like, whoa. This is like real church here.
She was great.
Yeah.
But, yes, you know, so I mean, peace to AMA.
And I love Tracee Ellis Ross. We can't forget about her homes. I think she was great.
It's her second year doing it, too.
She opened it up.
Mm-hmm. She changed 10 times. And it was flat out. I don't know if people realize this. She wore only clothes from black designers.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Dope.
I love
dope.
She wore, your man got one, Dapper Dan.
Dapper Dan. She had a nice
She wore
cape
black Dan Gucci cape.
Okay. You know? Nice.
And Missy wore a Dapper Dan one
yes,
of one.
Yes, she did.
Okay.
I'm loving the love that Dapper Dan is getting.
Yeah.
I like
Dapper
it.
Dapper Dan's getting love.
You're getting his flowers.
You're getting his flowers.
Definitely
why
getting
here.
His flowers.
Pooch Hall.
Nigga.
Is that real?
I can actually relate to this.
That story sounds. I hope you cannot relate to that.
I can relate to that. I'm gonna tell you my story. Hold on now. So Pooch Hall got busted last Wednesday night in Burbank, driving his 2-year-old son. Had sitting his 2-year-old son in his lap. 2-year-old son's driving, two, because this nigga's drunk, and hit two parked cars.
Wow.
2-year-old son in the lap. He hit two parked cars. That could have been. Way back.
Done.
Like his son could have been dead.
Yes.
If that airbag had popped.
Yeah.
He blew way over the limit, more than 3 times the limit. His car seat was in the back. Pooch drunk. Just a mess. Like, you get that drunk, bro? Where you coming from?
With your child. He's not coming back from that.
Wait, where was the two-year-old? How did that happen?
He took the two-year-old out the...
And so he was steering.
Yes, because Pooch was too drunk to drive.
That's scary.
I don't think he really intended for the kid to, like, drive the car home. I think he did that classic daddy shit, like, hey, come up here and drive with your daddy, and then put him in his lap. No. Listen. I think
2 years
old. They're like a thousand things wrong with this fucking story, right? And like, listen, man, I've always taken being a dad, like, serious.
Oh, and this cut you off. His older daughter was in the passenger seat.
Oh, my God. They didn't say. Wait, how old is the older daughter?
They don't say in the story how old the older daughter is.
So, just for clarity, like, that nigga's never getting custody of his children. Like, ever, my nigga. Like, at best, he gets supervised visitation. At best.
At best.
Like, nigga, you go to the McDonald's, and y'all don't leave the play area. That's it.
Go get some quarters for the game.
Like, dude. Like, I'm not even bullshit. Like, if they revoked his license,
they might.
Forever. Like, nigga, you can never drive. Like, I would not. None of that would shock me. Like, that is just like clearly that's a man with a problem.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm not even overstating. I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm not even overstating that. That is a man that has a problem for real.
That's crazy.
And that level of destructive behavior, it didn't affect his children. I mean, physically, it didn't harm God them bless. This time.
God bless.
But it will hurt someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Either himself or another person.
Yeah, some bystander.
All of that shit. Yeah. Like, he needs to figure that shit out. And hopefully, this doesn't turn into the fucking man trying to hold me back from my kids. Because I can't imagine.
Nigga.
I can't imagine him ever having custody of those kids unsupervised.
Yeah, you gotta
there's no judge that would allow that.
You gotta get some help, bro, because you drinking like that, like.
That's crazy. With, first of all, where are you with a two-year-old that you can even get
that's
alcohol?
What I was thinking.
Like, where can you even access alcohol with a two-year-old, my nigga?
Unless
like,
he was at the Chuck E. Cheese drinking beer.
I've been to Red Rooster and I saw somebody sitting at the bar with the baby in the lap. So they were sitting at the bar with the baby
in the beyond
in the lap,
and getting it in.
I'm like, it's louder here, and you're sitting at the bar.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Bartender.
That's crazy to me.
So, I'm about 14, 15. They don't do it anymore, but Thanksgiving, they used to have this Thanksgiving high school football game. And it was basically like a, kind of like a high school homecoming and thing. People would come back and all of that. So, I went up there separate. I went up there with some friends. And my pops is up there with my godfather. You know, they getting the drinking and shit, you know, but I'm not really with them, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So they drinking over there, I'm over here, my friends over here. So it's time to go. So my pops like, you know, they blasted, right? They fucking blasted. So my pops like, we're getting ready to go because the game is on Thanksgiving morning.
Okay.
So he's going home to get ready for Thanksgiving. So my godfather, my pops get in the car, my godfather's like, my pops like, Oliver, you can't drive this car. You're drunk. Jeffrey gonna drive.
Oh,
I had no license, no nothing. I never drove before in my life. And I was like, what? My godfather was like, you can drive, you'll be all right. So I got in the driver's seat. My pops is in the back, passed out. At least blasted. My godfather stays up. He said, all right, come on, let's go.
I'm laughing because I can hear those voices.
Yeah. And so I drove them home. I didn't hit no cars, fortunately, but I definitely took some real wide turns. It was a lot of tires screeching.
For 14, that to me.
And my godfather was like, you all right. Just turn the wheel back.
The problem with your story is at 14, we don't know if this is 1978 or if this is 1934. We're unclear on the laws at that time.
It was about 65.
The seatbelt wasn't even in the car at that time. But
definitely.
Sliding all over the back seat.
But 14 is like, Like, that's the shit you'd be like, all right, you know, we kind of learned from that lesson. But, like, 14, at that time, that happened.
If we was in the South, I would have known how to drive by that point.
Here?
This is here.
Yeah.
We made it. We made it to my godfather's house. And then I'm gray on that. I'm assuming somebody must have drove us home. From my godfather's house.
Yeah.
Which wasn't far from where we lived, but I made it to my godfather's house. Yeah. Like, to this day, my godfather, he's 80 some years old. Uncle Eddie, remember that time you told me to drive? Like, yeah, I remember that time your father was drunk.
Shout out to Uncle Eddie, man.
Yeah, so but I ain't do what Pooch did. I mean,
that's crazy.
That's bananas. But I mean, I guess my shit wasn't much better, but I'm just looking down on Pooch right now. That's terrible. Let's talk a little bit. We're gonna do some man shit real quick. You watch this? You keep up with this Conor McGregor shit?
Yeah, I did.
Did y'all watch any of this?
I saw the after fight.
You saw the after fight? Did you see
the best part?
Crazy.
So Conor McGregor fought this guy named Khabib. I cannot pronounce his last name.
Butcher his name.
Yeah, his last name is mad long. Yeah. So I'm just gonna call him Khabib. Yeah, that's what most people call him, because his last name is long. He's a Russian Muslim. He's tough as nails. There's a clip online of he looks to be about 6 or 7 years old, and his dad had him wrestling bears.
Yeah, like a real
like a bear. And I don't mean a little trained like a bear with like
a real bear.
Well, it wasn't like a full blown bear, but it was like a teenage bear, bigger than him.
Yeah,
and it was wrestling.
It was definitely not some shit that I would be letting my kids do.
Yeah, so he's this motherfucker.
This is out in Russia somewhere.
Yeah, Russia. Tough as...
He's been doing this,
which is why he wasn't scared. So there was a build-up to the fight. Conor McGregor attacked his bus a few months ago, like, got arrested for it.
Yeah, he threw a hand truck.
He threw a hand truck.
And I don't know if you guys have ever... I worked at FedEx. Hand trucks is heavy shit.
And they metal.
Like, they will fuck something up.
So then, during all the press conferences, Conor McGregor was talking about his religion, because he's Muslim. He's talking about his religion. He's talking about his dad. He was talking about Russia. Because that's what Conor does. He goes crazy to ramp the fight up. Mm-hmm. So your man got in the ring and tore Conor McGregor ass up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clip online. I saw it yesterday. It's interesting. And somebody caught the audio. In the middle of the fight, he has Conor down. And he's pounding Conor. And Conor's like, let's talk. During the fight. Yeah. And then the Beeb's like, let's talk then. And he's kind of like, it's just business. Because he's beating the shit out of Conor.
Yeah.
Conor's basically kind of trying to tell him, like, yo, fam, I was just playing. You killing me. When he choked Conor out, like, they had to peel him off.
Is this the one where I saw a clip where somebody was like tapping out and the guy kept going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to peel him off, Conor.
Yeah, he had to get, like, this dude was in
rage. He was like ready to kill him.
Yeah.
Yes. No LOL.
And then when they peeled him off, he spit on Conor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then immediately turned to Conor's trainer who's outside the ring, threw his mouthpiece and was like, what's up?
Ooh.
Well, apparently, what they said was that the audio didn't pick up was Conor's guy called him a fucking Muslim rat.
Oh.
That's when he jumped over the shit. So Conor is playing this up as this sort of being a part of an act.
Mm-hmm.
This act is pretty consistent with Conor.
Yeah, it's who he is.
It's who he is, right? Like, he does this. He did the same thing with Floyd.
Yeah, does it with all his opponents.
Come and dance for me, calling his bodyguards monkey boys and all sorts of shit.
He did
with,
what's the cast name? It was a Spanish cat that beat his ass, too. Nate Diaz.
Mm.
He was fucking with him on the Spanish shit. This is
sort of what he does. Mm-hmm. So, was Khabib wrong? Yes, but I agree with you.
I understand.
Like, I totally understand.
Exactly.
And, you know, the UFC, this is what they sell. Like, this is a part of what they sell.
Because the rematch is about to make $500 million.
Yo, this is a part of what they sell. I'm absolutely okay with that. They was out there handing out smoke to anybody that looked like whoever wanted it, they was getting it.
This is the extreme fighting, though.
Yes. Yeah. So
it was the Russians versus the Irish.
So basically, your whole... your whole crowd. And there was fights going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at fight parties. Everywhere. And all sorts of shit in all pockets.
All throughout the arena.
And in those boxing matches, like, a lot of those guys are, like, fucking juice head fighters.
Yep.
So you could have easily had a riot. Like, a riot that security in and of itself would have not been able to contain. Like, they might have... If that had gone on for maybe another 45 seconds, they might have had to come in there with tear gas.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, for real. Like,
I've been to several fights at the Garden and stuff, and, like, I say at least 50, 60% of them, there's a few fights in the crowd.
Wow.
Because you'd be...
These people just gas up and then they just fight.
Like, say, juice heads, they like weekend boxers or whatever, yeah. So they think they could go, and everybody's in there looking for it. You look at a dude too long, and he's like, what's up? Yeah. And then he says... It's a pot of cake up in that drink, wow. But so yeah. So this thing is gonna. Conor already wants a rematch, but they doing the foul shit because they haven't fined Conor anything, even though he did a bunch of foul shit. They've held Khabib's purse, so he's at $2 million. He hasn't gotten a dime.
Wow.
That's they're trying to figure it out now. They say it might suspend him.
The Nevada Athletic Commission has to go over this.
But they're not trying to go after Conor for shit. Conor got his money.
But this is a constant thing that we see with white folks.
Yep.
Specifically white men.
Yep.
Right? Like, there's this behavior of, hey, I'm just voicing my opinion, mm-hmm. and they say, like, the most enraging, derogatory shit they could possibly say to you, and then make you out to be like this crazed lunatic.
If you react
to it. Yeah.
Expect no consequences.
This man is a practicing Muslim. You're at a press conference, and he's passing him alcohol.
Yeah. Mm. Like, have a drink with me.
Now he knows what that means.
Exactly.
Right?
And no one stops him. Like, this is the shit that really rubs me the wrong way. It's like, okay, guys, you are watching him do this. You're watching him.
And nobody's saying shit.
And no one says a thing because it's all good for business until it ain't all good for business.
It's all sweet till it ain't.
And guess what, man? Like we said before, you might be playing... But he ain't playing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you think this is like fun and games, my nigga. Like you literally 10 seconds away from being gone.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah, he was trying to kill you in that ring.
For real.
Yeah, so yeah, it was wild, man. So, like I said, the rematch is going to be, they'll probably do $100.
And that's fine. Conor is neither entertaining or... enticing. I don't watch him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good, and he's not entertaining to me.
Yeah, I think it's his fifth fight that he's lost.
Yeah. I'm not moved by him. That doesn't. You know. And people still, you know, get riled up for that sort of shit.
Yeah. They do.
I'm good.
But because of the racism that comes along.
Absolutely.
What he does.
Absolutely.
That's what gets them geeked up. They didn't know he's gonna say heinous shit that they're thinking. You know.
Yep.
Let's talk some shit. What y'all think about all this Judge Kavanaugh stuff and the women's movement?
Whole several eye rolls.
What do you ladies say? Why are you looking at Kia?
Because we like text about this all day at work, and
I mean, don't say nothing's gonna get you in trouble. Now I want y'all to have no job.
No,
I'll say that it's super discouraging, and I hope that. Everything that has happened brings about a pink wave. They're worried about the blue wave. I hope that women band together as a voting bloc and we vote these motherfuckers out. Because this is ridiculous.
It's crazy. What you
it's
think,
ridiculous.
Kia?
I'm more pessimistic. I get depressed when I hear anything that's happening with this administration. And a lot of times I'm just like, I have to tune it out.
Yeah.
Because it's depressing. And, you know... Once he showed his character and his temperament, I thought that maybe there was like some hope that we would have a miracle, but it's just I didn't even want to hear anything on Saturday about it.
And the wild thing is it's like mad white women that are like with it.
And they the ones that 43%. Voted the junk in as well. So
like, how is this like what's wrong with y'all?
Well, they have consistently shown that they will vote for white men in office, like regardless, like they're just going to do that. And we can pretend that there's going to be some awakening all we want. Now, I also, listen, I think that the Dems, the Democrats played this wrong.
How would you have played it?
I think that his behavior was what they should have latched on to and not the investigation.
Yeah.
Mostly because, and obviously, you know, there's some level of hindsight, right? But mostly because there was no subpoena power in that investigation. It was literally a questioning. So all you had, all the people that were interviewed, and there was a few people that were interviewed, very small amount of people that were interviewed. All they had to do was toe the line. Right. There was no, listen, you told
there them wasn't about, like digging in.
No.
Listen, there was nothing that would have been compelling to have a person be truthful in that situation.
Yeah. If you see what happens,
right. If you're truthful, right, then you've just shitted on a person that is still probably going to be a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Right. And now and you're really on the outskirts. Right. Or you told a line. And you got a line of communication
to the Supreme Court
justice, right? So you hold the line. It was just that simple. When there's no power in that investigation, and they were looking, and this is what they did. It was basically spaghetti on the wall. They wanted to see if there was anything else out there. But in actuality, his temperament, his behavior, his records, his judgments.
And the fact that he was threatening Democrats, like, you showing you ain't going to be biased.
That's what I'm saying. It literally, in his opening statements, he talked about it being a partisan political hit. So
I can't wait for one of the Democratic senators to be like, yo, hold on, what you mean by that shit you said at the beginning, bro?
Well, that's a part of being able to, you know, first of all, I think all of these confirmations, I think all of this is bullshit, right? Like, because we're never allowing people to hear something and, like, go back to it or deal with it right
then
and
there. You 5 minutes.
You get 5 minutes, so you've already got these questions in your head and you kind of got to go off of this pre-planned speech or pre-planned line of questioning that you hope goes in this way, right? But in actuality, they played this all wrong, because now you and what you've also done is you've created, they're not very smart, right? Like, we know that those voters aren't very smart, and so now you're creating this idea that my son can be blamed for something with no evidence,
right?
Right, like that's, so now that's the, what is it, him too.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's this him too hashtag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
but it's crazy because it's like, but I mean, and I don't know why the Democrats flipped it on. Yeah, but now your daughter could come clean and get played. Like
a man's daughter did come clean
exactly
and get played. So this woman just basically was living her life. Like, there was no reason for her to come out. This was something that was established long before he was, you know, a judge. And what we're also forgetting, what we're also like, okay, not only did they fucking steal 2 SCOTUS seats,
yeah, right.
They are implementing federal judges at an alarmingly fast rate. Like, dude, I think they got like 50 federal judges in already.
Wow.
A lot of them are unqualified as well.
Most of them, a lot of them are, right? But they're passing them through. Once they changed, because before it used to be you needed a 60 vote.
Mm-hmm.
Once they changed that vote that you didn't need 60, which the 60 vote meant that you had to have Democrats on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't bar through.
Now you can do it without them.
Yeah. You could do it without them. So what was the difference?
Yeah.
And no one's fucking kicking and screaming. Nope. And no one's, and everyone is like back to business. Yep. So
like it never happened.
Yo, like, it's a Supreme Court justice, my nigga. Like, he's there.
Yeah. Till he's dead.
He's 53. We're looking at 35 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Of this guy
him
being.
Doing just a come bunch on. Of
so let me ask you a question. If the Democrats, if we win the House, I feel like there are probably going to be some investigations. Do you feel like they're going to try to bring up some impeachment hearings to bring up, you know, to try to impeach him because of some of the lies that they can prove?
Yeah. With Trump?
No, with Kavanaugh? Because he blatantly was lying in his testimony.
I don't know, because I still think that there is a protection of, air quotes here, there's a protection of manhood that I think happens. And I think that there is an air of feeling and wanting that access. I think a lot of these Dems and Republicans are fucking pals, and all of this shit is for show, to make us feel better, to make us feel like they're fighting for our rights, and they're fighting for, you know, the side of right, and they're not. This is utter theater. This is all fucking performative.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that your man, Lindsey Graham, bugged out so hard, because I think deep down, I think they were like, y'all know I'm supposed to go like this. But, like, we talked about this shit.
Yeah,
like, why y'all doing this shit? Like, he basically like, yo, why are you going against the group? We already discussed this. So the fact that they was starting to go so hard on him, that's really one of the things that pissed them off. The problem here
is that we fucking sat quietly. This is another issue. We sat quietly when Merrick Garland got that nomination. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know what we did? We thought we had the lead. Mm-hmm. And we held on to the ball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't play the game. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they do is when their foot is on your fucking neck, they keep it on your neck.
Yeah, they
and don't
shit.
Fucking let up.
Yep.
No and mercy. We always trying to do go work for together, optics,
bipartisanship,
all that bullshit. Fuck them. Yeah. They have no qualms about, like, nigga, if we all die tomorrow, they would be like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, but I got a tea time.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah. He's there. Like, think about this. Like, 2 weeks ago, this motherfucker was testifying about his character.
Yeah.
He's now the Supreme Court. He's a Supreme Court justice. He's a swing vote, my nigga. Like, this is not
And blatantly in Trump's pocket.
This is not a small thing. Not only did they miss, in my opinion, did they miss the behavior and the temperament aspect, but they fucking swung and missed on his financials.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I don't believe for a second that he's clean. No. Not for one fucking
you
second.
You can't be making 200 grand. Okay, I looked up some of the shit. I think as a judge, he was making about 200 grand a year. Mm-hmm. And his wife, I forget what her exact title is, but whatever it is, she makes 66.
So combined
in D.C., so combined income is 266.
Right.
Let's be nice and round it to 270, right? They had a $1.2 million house, and they were $90,000 in debt on credit cards and a bunch of other shit. They found the dude was doing some type of baseball, like, ticket scam. Like, he had all kinds of...
And
right before he got this nomination... All his debt was cleared.
The first thing I would have
The
first thing I would have done was I would have pulled that fucking mortgage application. Mm. That was the first thing I would have done. Because not just that he did anything wrong, but I know that there's something in here that's non-compliant.
Yeah. Mm.
There's no fucking way
he would have been approved
because at minimum he would have had to come in with that 20% down payment.
Right.
At minimum
$400,000.
Cash, liquid motherfucker. Yeah. Now, where did that come from?
Yeah, because you got 90 grand in credit card debt.
Or they gave him some funny ass mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like some fucking ridiculously low interest rate. You didn't have to do it that way. That's what I'm saying. There was something that we had to do that they should have done a little digging on. And again, I don't want to. It's easy for me to sit in my chair 2 weeks, you know, and say that now, right? But there were some things that were missed, and we didn't just miss. We let them use our miss to galvanize their base.
Yep.
And this is going to be a problem, man. So to me, it's like, yo, we're going to get in there. We're going to vote all these motherfuckers out. And we could vote all of them out, and he's still going to be the SCOTUS.
Yeah.
He's still going to be the SCOTUS. Yep. That motherfucker, them cocksuckers stole two seats.
Yep.
Two.
Blatantly.
And there ain't no... And here's another thing I would have done. I would have absolutely fucking subpoenaed that judge that retired. Mm-hmm. I would have subpoenaed every communication he's fucking had in the last 2 years.
With you?
That cocksucker...
What did they promise
he,
you?
He, he planned that retirement. Absolutely. There's no way you're going to make me believe otherwise.
He just decided to retire.
That's why he waited for that particular time when he knew it was the middle of the road, mm-hmm. where they could sweep in, nominate somebody in there, and this is how they play. Yep. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we over here trying to play by the rules.
We can't do that. Yeah, so it was just bad. I mean, I feel bad. You know, I mean, you know, like white guys got some shit with them, but just women in general, I feel bad for them because, like I said, you come clean. She's a doctor. She's living a life. She works. She got working at Stanford.
Right.
And she comes out of hiding, basically not hiding, but just, you know, living an anonymous life to testify in front of the world. To me, looked wild credible. Like, I definitely believed her. Like, she had no reason to lie about it. And she got death threats. Mm-hmm. She got doxxed. She had to change her shit. I think she had to move. Like, for what?
But for what?
Like, so, and the dude gets it anyway. And now, you know, she got to go deeper underground because, you know, she don't even know where it's coming from.
Her life is upside down.
Right upside now. Down. It's crazy.
And we worried about... Her story was so common. There's so many women that can relate to this.
Yeah, y'all went to this party. This was wild. And, you know, like, come on, man. This is crazy. I wanted to mention Sears, the largest retailer in the world, is facing bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You hear about this at work?
Yes.
What they saying? Can you say? I mean, you working on Morgan Stanley, what they saying over there?
Nah.
Give a nigga a tip? Nah, I know you can't. You can't say that. Nah, I don't want you to say that. We'll talk off air. Anyway, they haven't turned a profit since 2010, and they're $134 million in debt.
Okay.
And approached several banks recently about filing bankruptcy. They dropped 20% in their stocks. The CEO has been pumping funds from his own hedge fund to try to keep the shit going for years. And now I guess he's tired. I'm tired of being tired. And it's over for Sears. But, you know, Sears and some of these other companies, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, man, they was gods, Woolworth, all that type of shit. But, you know, like with a lot of companies, they didn't adjust to the new times. Toys R Us. And I think most of these companies, and this happened in music too, like, you know, they've gotten it back on track now with streaming, but they just didn't see the online thing coming and becoming a way of life. They thought online was like, something you could do, but people still want to come in and touch stuff.
Well, that was the problem, in my opinion, with them was that, yes, they were actually right in probably, at, you know, 99, 2000. It was probably very correct of them to think that their customer base was a customer base that still wanted to come into the store and touch things.
Yeah.
Yes, right? But guess what? Ms. Gert, who was like 70 in 2000, like she's dead.
She's gone.
Right?
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything to get her son.
Or her grandkids.
Or her grandkids, right? And they didn't, if you go into in Sears, because I actually still go to Sears.
Really?
Mostly for like outdoor shit.
Yeah, true.
Mostly for outdoor shit.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm looking for, I always go and price check. Like if I'm buying new washers and dryers and shit like that. Like,
but didn't they even get their lunch eaten by the Home Depot?
Well, I was just getting ready to. Home Depot, in my opinion, they can do that, right? But that's really, they really do like home building shit.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So you still go to Sears for that type of shit.
But in my opinion, when I look at, there's nothing in Sears that I can't get at Target.
True.
And I can go shopping at Target. True. So I can buy a chicken for dinner tonight.
Yeah. And a lawnmower.
And a washing machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And some light bulbs. I forgot my light bulbs.
Yeah.
And I need some new tiles for the guest bathroom.
And I need a new iPad.
Right? So all of that's there. So I still go to Sears because they still actually have quality products.
Yeah, I believe that.
They still have quality products. It's been a long-standing brand, so they stand behind the shit that they sell.
Yeah, good warranties and all that.
Good warranties, things like that. But when you go into the store, it's massive.
Yeah.
They're massive stores. They're dated. The displays are dated.
Yeah.
The stuff that they have, you know, it's just not an enjoyable.
It's not, it
doesn't
no
make
fun.
You feel. It doesn't make you feel when I walk in there. I don't feel like spending money. I'm not met by someone engaging. I'm not talking to someone to give me the spiel about. Like for example, I'll use cigars. Like for example, like when I go into a cigar shop and the dude really knows what the fuck he's talking about, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm gonna spend more money with
yeah.
him. Right, versus when I go in there and they just say, "Oh, this is what we selling."
Yeah,
this sells.
Like,
a
I'm
lot.
Working there part time.
Right? Yeah, like I don't really know, nigga. Really you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, all right. Well, I'm
you
out.
Do you still go to Sears?
Not really. I haven't been there in several years. I have gone there to do some price checking on like appliances, but
not really.
Yeah,
I bought
really.
My first washing machine from Sears.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
So I'm a city dweller, so I'm not really into. Those type of stores, but I feel like when you just mentioned that you could buy a washing machine at Target, like I would think of Sears before I thought of Target to buy a washing machine. Like if I was to go online, I would think of Sears, PC Richards, Best Buy.
But Target to me has become Sears. Like well, that's what Sears was in '75. Yes. That's what Target.
Well,
is
well, that's
now.
What that's what I'm trying to say.
Is it
right?
Their pricing or marketing?
It's,
or both,
it's
both.
Kind of, the marketing for Target is excellent. Like they've done a great job to make Target. You know, they had the whole Target thing.
Yeah.
They've done a great job in making Target, which is basically, like I said, the Sears of now, chic. It's like a hip, like, oh, I went to, or the girls be like, oh, I went to, girl, I gotta go to Target. Like, it's like a thing to do. To go to Target, like Sean said, like if I'm like y'all gotta go to Sears, he was like, all right, bro, I'll see you. I'll see you later, man. Word,
fucking even
Sears, man. Don't you know what
but is? But even if you go into even if you go into
males,
if you go into Sears, right, and you go into Target, and I'm just gonna use the men's department for example, right? While the clothes that are in both of those locations are of similar quality.
Mm-hmm.
It is a completely different design. It's completely, they're attempting to go for a younger, hipsterish demo.
Mm-hmm.
So while the clothes are the same quality, they're more fashionable, the colors are brighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I know that this is a $25 shirt. And I know this isn't like a long term shirt, but this is dope. I kind of like this right now, and I don't have a problem. Yes, versus going into Sears and you seeing like this stretchy ass collar, and you like, I would never wear that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, God bless them. But they,
I'm
only thinking about appliances when I think of Sears.
That's it.
I go to Sears.
If it's not cheaper than somewhere else, then I'm not.
Appliances and gym equipment. Those are the only two things. Yeah,
tools.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going for the sale when that time comes. Yeah.
You like a good toolbox?
You like tools?
You be fixing up around the crib?
I was a daddy's girl, so I like a good toolbox. And I actually need a really good toolbox.
So you should go to Sears and give them some money for the
car. Let me catch that sale.
Before they over. Speaking of, you know they had a Walmart in White Plains. That shit closed down.
What? Walmart?
Walmart closed down?
Closed. What happened?
Down. I don't know.
They must have been selling. They were selling dope out of the Walmart. They got the Walmart
I went up
closed
in
down.
Because they said it was 12. And I needed something. And I got home kind of late. And I was like, I'm going to shoot to the Walmart. I walked in there. I was like, the gate was down. The joint was empty.
Wow.
I never seen a Walmart close in my life. And that Walmart used to be packed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
At Christmas time, they were still open 24 hours and all that. Yeah, man. Wow. I was... Yeah, so peace to Walmart.
Yeah.
Sure, they shut down. Let's talk about... I got to do some music shit real quick, man.
Uh-oh.
None of y'all niggas don't know about this. Lil Baby and Gunna. Look at bro's face.
Nah, I heard of Lil Baby.
Okay. Yeah.
My kids just told me about Lil Baby.
They dropped a duet album called Drip Harder.
Okay.
Drip means fly. Like, I'm dripping. Like,
oh, okay.
You wearing some shit. You know, you
thank you.
You dripping. Drip, drip. Like when the Cardi song, Drip, Drip. Drip, Drip. Yeah, that means you fly. So they dropped the album called Drip Harder. It's 14 songs of ignorance.
Pure.
And you know I love it.
I know it.
It's popping. It's my second favorite rap album of the year so far.
What's the first?
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott.
I know. I got to get the tickets for the girls.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Kia got me under pressure.
Under pressure. My daughter keeps asking me. I said, look, it's his birthday. I'm not going to call him today.
All right. Thank you. I know she got me under pressure. But I just wanted to mention that. To me, it's a dope album. Go purchase it. Quavo dropped his solo album Friday. Quavo Honcho.
That's one of the Migos.
See, all
right. See, somebody else came out. The kid from Harlem.
Oh, yeah. Sheck West.
Sheck West. Sheck West
came
heavy.
Through. 116th Street. He's an African
and
kid.
And I didn't know you didn't know that he was from Harlem. I knew that.
I knew Sheck West was from Harlem. I didn't know Mo Bamba was from Harlem.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Mo Bamba is a basketball player. He's the first round draft. He might be the number one pick this year.
Oh, I thought that was just the name of the song.
No, it's just his man. So he named, because they both grew up on 116th Street. So he named the song after his man, Mo Bamba.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Mo Bamba is from Harlem. I didn't know that, though. I was like, Mo Bamba's from Harlem?
I didn't really get the hype of the song, though, once I got online and I saw
I know,
you all talking about it.
Crazy.
But I was like, well, maybe if I hear it inside of a club. Cause
in the right environment, in the right energy.
Beat.
Yeah, nah, it goes hard
but
in the club.
But the lyrics were just
kind of
like,
He's 20 years old. He ain't talking about shit. He's just Sheck West.
My daughter loves him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no homo, whatever they say today. He's a good-looking kid. Yeah. He used to be a model. I think he still does kind of model.
Okay.
You know, say he's African kid. He's Senegalese.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting that he grew up, you know, obviously he was being a bad kid. So his mother sent him to Senegal.
Oh, wow.
For like a few years.
Like how they used to send people down south? When
she sent them back to Africa. And he could not come back. I saw his interview on Hot 97. She sent him back to Senegal where he lived with, I believe it was an uncle of his, who was like the kind of like the high priest of their community.
Oh, wow.
And he said every day he would have to sit with this uncle. And uncle would just teach him lessons.
Wow.
And he could not go back to America until the uncle said so. It was nothing he could do because they took his passport, so he couldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
He said he could barely talk to his friends in America because the Wi-Fi is janky. So he said he would just be like learning lessons. And then one day, his uncle was like, okay, now you're ready to go back. But he had no idea when that was. That could have been a month or 3 years. He had no idea. Very interesting kind of story, so. Piece of Sheck West, a little young stunt. What else do you want to talk about? Oh, did you see this Banksy story? You know what Banksy is?
I saw it.
Yeah.
I thought
you know
it
was Banksy
great.
Is?
I don't know.
Okay.
Underground.
So put you up on some game.
I don't
know. So Banksy.
I'm listening.
No, so Banksy is, was an underground. He's a artist. He paints, he draws.
Okay.
And so he's from England. And so what he would do or does is. And his stuff is actually super dope because it's very like ironic and stuff. So what he would do is he would go all around England and paint on walls and stuff. And nobody knows who he is to this day. Nobody, people think they know, but they don't know. Like there's a documentary called Who Is Banksy, mm-hmm. where people are trying to figure out who he is. And so he would paint on these walls and people it became a thing. Like, yo, Banksy put a piece up last night. So people run to the wall, take pictures before they erased it, and it started to become a thing. So then he started doing stuff on like paper and like posting them on walls and stuff, and people would kind of rip them down. He's like kind of like almost
he's
like a Basquiat,
like a underground like graffiti artist.
Yeah, but like he's like legendary with it. Oh. So his stuff has become like very like really valuable. So they had an auction. Was that in France or was it in England?
It was Sotheby's. I'm not sure.
It was
where,
Sotheby's. I think it was in England. And somebody bought this one of his drawings for $1.4 million,
mm-hmm.
and it was in this big, beautiful frame. Mm-hmm. And Zeus was like, sold $1.4 million. You know, and everybody's like, hey! And they look at the pieces hanging on the wall, and all of a sudden, the piece drops and it shreds. He set it up so if you sell my shit, mm-hmm. I'm shredding it.
And then there's a video where you actually
show him,
where he created this built-in shredder if it ever went to
auction. Yeah, if it went to auction in the frame.
But the best part was seeing everybody kind of like scrambling as
as it was happening. Because nobody knew what to do.
I don't even know what to say.
So the question is that people said was that
Was he in the room?
Well, I think at that point he had to have been. He had to either been in that room or close by
to know
because the
remotely triggered.
But again, nobody knows who he is, so he could be in the room and nobody
would know. They also saying that this shit might have increased the value.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I would have kept it.
It didn't even shred all the way.
Because I would have been like, yo, I got the shredded Banksy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now it's worth. Yeah. 3.5 million.
Yeah,
because I wanted to know who actually bought it too. I was like, I want.
Yeah, because it was anonymous, so you do it with a phone, so you don't know who bought it. But I just thought it was just a really.
Well, you know, that's a very it's a way that a lot of really really rich people clean their money.
Yeah, through art.
Through watches.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those houses do that.
Horse, cocaine, you know.
Yeah.
Did y'all see the turtle? Did you see that?
What turtle?
They had a turtle where they caught where he had all of these bricks of cocaine.
Really?
Yeah, bricks on the turtle? Oh, you gotta see it. It's crazy. My God.
Yo, they got the turtles out here working. Shit is hard out here,
it's
baby.
It's real out here in the streets, bro.
Hey.
It's real out here in the streets. The turtle mule.
It was a lot of cocaine. I got
people family, bro. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Wait, so I want to get into a little bit of y'all ladies. Marshall, I'm gonna act like I don't know you.
Here we go.
No, but I'm gonna start on the left side first. So, you're from Jersey.
Yeah.
What made you want to get into finance?
The money.
I mean, you know, right?
I actually got into finance accidentally when I was in college. I was a marketing major. I didn't think I was too good at math. So marketing, I only had to take one math class, one finance class.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up doing really well in it after I graduated.
Where'd you go to school?
Hampton University.
Okay. The real HU,
of course, the real HU. And I ended up getting a job in finance, and I fell in love.
Really?
And I fell in love.
You love it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I see people making money in ways that they wouldn't expect to make money. And people are sitting at home looking at their computer making money without doing any work at all.
Wow. And what's been your journey being a black woman in finance?
Oh, it's been very difficult, especially with a name like Ayana. I just had to reintroduce myself to this young lady who I've worked with for like 4 years. Stop calling me Ayana. My name is Ayana.
What's she calling you?
Ayana.
Ayana?
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
4 years.
Especially being a female in a male-dominated industry.
A white male-dominated.
White male-dominated industry. It's definitely very interesting.
So tell us a couple of good stories. Come on now. You can't just be gray like that. I mean, no names. No names. But just tell us a couple interesting stories about, you know, tell us a little dirt. Like about the dude that tried to pull you in his office or the dude that tried to proposition, like, or whatever happens in this world, because there's a lot of money moving around, which means a lot of these guys are very entitled. I'm assuming. Am I wrong?
Very entitled.
Yeah. They drive driving Raris. They got to join the Hamptons. They helicopter in. It's whatever.
Yeah. They don't expect for you to object to anything that they ask for.
Exactly. Because they're used to getting what they want.
Yes.
And how do you handle that?
You have to handle it with dignity. You have to be yourself.
Of course.
You have to, you know, realize what you've been brought up to be and realize that you have to be better than everyone else.
And not get caught up in the bullshit.
And not get caught up in the BS at all.
Wow. Now, do you travel a lot with work as well? Or you basically
I don't.
Mostly here. Mm-hmm. So you work in the city, you work in Jersey?
In the city.
Okay, work in the city, so you commute or whatever. And what's kind of like your vision for yourself, like long term? You start a hedge fund, move up to Greenwich, stunt in Aston Martin. I mean, what we doing? We coming to the cookout or something? What we doing? We coming to survive.
We'll see what happens. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in some excellent programs at the company that I'm working at.
Good for you.
Been introduced to some members of senior leadership within the organization, and so we'll see what happens.
Good. Do they do like I'm assuming they do internships. So they do, do they have like a lot of like minority programs?
Yes,
like
there actually are. And I really wish that people would reach out more. You know, especially young women. I've participated in some types of mentoring programs, and then also going out back to Hampton University. Mm-hmm. When we have college or career day, just trying to encourage people to apply, because if you don't apply, you'll never get it.
Of course.
You'll never get it. And I feel like we, as a people, we don't look at Wall Street as an option. Of course, we want to be basketball players. Of course, we want to be rappers.
And Wall Street seems very intimidating.
It does.
I mean, for somebody who's, you know, not into finance or whatever, it seems like it's like, well, I remember, I forget how, it's a great story, so I don't remember where I was or whatever, but I remember talking to some dudes, black dudes who was working on Wall Street, and they were saying, like, they were brokers, and they were like, yeah, man, like, last year was kind of whack, like, I made only, like, $3 million, and I'm like, what? You know, but you know, when you're working with dudes who's making $100 million, or $200 right. million, or $400 million, $3 million is bullshit, but I think that's part of the intimidation is, like, you know, $3 million to, obviously, the average person is a lot of money. But in that world, you're a peon if you're doing like those type of numbers at certain places. So, like, how do you overcome being intimidated?
You just have to set your own goals. You absolutely have to set your own goals. I mean, you may be speaking with someone who's used to making $10 million a year, but you know, their family's used to making $20 or $30 million a year. Right. So you have to set your own goals. Based upon your background, based upon what your needs are, and I won't say be thankful, but appreciate the opportunities that come before you, and never be, you just need to be tenacious and make sure you go for more. You know, you have to be thankful, but you have to want more.
Yeah,
and
you've got to want it for yourself. Comfortable, settle.
Yes, you have to want it for yourself.
Wow, interesting. It's a good company. You like working there.
I can't talk about it too much for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good thing to say. You like working there.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't mean to say that. Sorry.
It's okay.
Marshall.
What up?
Tell us something about yourself. You from Harlem.
I'm from Harlem.
Mm-hmm. So tell us what your thoughts are about how Harlem has changed.
Well, I don't live in Harlem anymore. But you still visit. My mother still lives in Harlem, and I do still come up to Harlem. And every single time, I feel like every single time I come to Harlem, there's something new.
How you feel about
that? Every time. I like it. You know, I think it's great.
All the new stuff and the gentrification.
You know, some of it, you know, there is a sense of nostalgia that's kind of lost when you come up there and you see like 125th Street, that whole corner on Lenox Avenue is completely different.
Whole Foods, Chipotle,
right?
Wingstop.
You know, Victoria's, I think it's unfortunate. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of people have issues with it because it's like, you know, we had that area for so long, and now, you know, people that are not of color have come in and kind of taken over and rehabbed all these brownstones, and they have the property. So, you know, there is that sense where it's just like, you know, we feel bad that we didn't take advantage of it or have enough information or have the access to really do something with it. But, like, I like coming up there, and I like seeing, like, the different businesses, and, you know, hopefully more people of color are get an opportunity to have businesses. Like, the other day, I just went up there, and there's, like, a new Jamaican restaurant on the corner of 124th.
Yeah,
come up here.
In Lenox, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. My daughter and I, we went there, too. We got the food.
It was good.
So, you know, I guess it's kind of bittersweet, but I like it. I mean, Harlem is always popping on the weekend.
I mean, keeping it trill, like, and, I'm, you know, you can relate from the Brooklyn side. It's better than it was.
It is.
Like, now, there's memories from before. It's fun and this and that. Y'all, shit was wild over. But, like, keeping it real, like, would you rather have to always go downtown to go to a decent place, good decent place to eat, or go downtown to have to go to the supermarket, or go downtown to have to go to buy, you know, clothes or whatever it is that's there? It's better. But also on the other side, it's sad because it's pushing people out who have been there forever. It's a lot of people who, you know, live with mama and all them. And when mama passed away, then they're jammed up. It's right. They're done. It's like, yeah. She didn't own this, bro. You, and your name is not on the lease, yeah. So you got to go. And
but
you know,
there were a lot of people talking about it back then, and
not many people did though.
They not talked, not many they people didn't do. Did, but there were people like warning. Like, because you remember that Starbucks came on 125th Street a long time ago. Like, that was kind of like the first one. That was, it's yeah, been that, there for quite some time. Because
Magic Johnson, I don't know if he still does, but he owned that.
Yeah, that yeah, was a he long owned time that, ago.
Yeah, when he opened up the movie theater and the Starbucks.
Wow. And yeah. You either have people that didn't have the access or the means to do anything about it, or you have people that really didn't take heed or think that it would happen.
Yeah.
And they were like the next 10 years, and it was like people didn't think that far. Mm-hmm, and yeah. Now we're looking back like, wow, like,
yeah,
you can go somewhere and not even remember what was there.
Yeah, it happens a lot. I'm always like, wow, what was to be right there?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, every single time I come uptown, I see something new. I'm like, wait, what? When did they put this here? Yeah. Like, what?
There's a CVS now on 125th and St. Nick on that corner. It just opened up the other day.
Wow. We don't see too many CVS's in the city. It's Dwayne Reed on every corner.
Yeah, too many CVS's. Yeah. So I mean, you could say it's a trip. And again, I know in Brooklyn it's the same. Like,
yeah.
And now, because it's funny, I meant to tell you. Like, I went to when we went to the Yellow Ball, I met two different young whites that night, and they both was like, "Oh, I just moved to New York. I was, where you live? I'm Bed-Stuy. It's great. I love it." So I was like, "That's kind of wild."
So like, it might have been like maybe 06, 05, 06. I was in the hood one night. Just I didn't have the kids or nothing. Mom was gone, so I'm just fucking around in Brooklyn. Dude, it's like 2 a.m. We out in front of the building. So like three white people walking down the street like on Passion Ave. Like, passionate Fulton. Like,
chilling.
You, like, if you was black, you might not have wanted to walk down there at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, that was my first real, like,
oh, shit.
Oh, this shit is real.
Yeah.
Because they were walking like, yo, we belong here.
Like, that was, we going home.
They were not scurrying.
Yeah.
My nigga, they were not like, yeah. Hey, they were like, just came from a bar or some shit. They was like, hey, we go. Yo, what up? You know? And then, like, maybe, and then it definitely kicked in. I went to go do something for my mom's. And I saw a white family coming from, like, the associate. Like, they had their shopping bags in their hand. And they was, like, they had, like, a brownstone that was, like, up the street. Like, they were, it was just.
They're part of the community.
We live here.
Yeah. Like, they was coming from associates. Yeah. They ain't even like, fresh direct.
Yeah.
They was in the hood.
No, they was definitely, yes. Like, Shorty had some cereal. Yeah, he looked mad happy.
Yeah, check the prices and sales. All that.
So, yeah, you definitely see that. So, like, but to your point, there's also a great little diner that I go to on Passion now where I can get.
That wasn't there before.
I can get some good food, freshly prepared. You know, the stores are changing now. So it's like there was on a corner from my shop. It's like a little filthy store, dude. It was like fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I would only go in there to go to the cash machine or like get some water. Yeah. Like I would get bottled water. I would never buy anything out of there. Wipe all that shit.
Your cat.
So went down. So I had gone to the shop. I hadn't been down there for maybe like about 8 months or so like that. I come down. To a block party, I go to the store. Yo, dude, they done changed the awning outside, gutted out everything inside. They doing smoothies. These motherfuckers got fruit. Nigga, I ain't never had no fruit. All I could get was some Bon-Ton barbecue and some Nihilators. Now you niggas got pears.
That's some great knee
high. Now Ezra get pears.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Lil Daquan got chips and quarter water. You motherfuckers ain't shit.
Yeah, man. This shit's crazy, man. It's just really like, I mean, it's happening in all cities, but like the gentrification is this. You said the gift and the curse.
I feel good about the people that I know that have businesses there that are thriving and are, and had done that because they were from the community. They went in before the community started to change, so they got very favorable lease agreements.
That's how people got jammed up, though. I know in Harlem, because I had a friend who worked for a business association in Harlem. And at that time, when they were kind of warning everybody, a lot of those mom-and-pop shops had month-to-month leases. And they were trying to get them to lock in,
and
they never did. And then, like, a lot of those stores, especially, like, on 125th Street, from the next step, like, they...
This is a part of you know, some of the issues that I talk about with, you know, it. Is someone wrong here? Right?
Like, yeah, is someone wrong? I don't know.
The market is dictating this is what it costs to operate my building. The market is dictating this is what the rent costs. Like, the rent and lease terms, they are not as arbitrary as one might think. Okay, someone puts that information in an algorithm. They sort of come up with what the comps are in the area, square footage in this area versus this area, all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be very difficult for mom and pops that don't have access to capital.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do normally when we open a business is that we're looking to finance those businesses from our own pockets, right? So we take our savings. If it's 10, Big Mama died. Big Mama left me 10 grand.
Policy, yeah.
Right. And for a dude that's never seen any money,
10 grand.
I remember my cousin talked about getting a settlement for $75,000. Man, this nigga.
Like he had $75 million.
Nigga! I was like.
That was a lot.
I'm like, you doing all that with 70? I said, did you even pay the lawyer yet? Nigga, like, you about to walk out of there with a $33,000 check.
Exactly.
And you told mom, I'm going to get my mom's up. I'm going to go down to the dealer. And then.
Got to take a vacation.
Nigga, where are you? And pay that Capital One card off. What the fuck is you talking? But a lot of times, like, what we do is, so we take that, right? And then we have these sort of passion businesses. And those businesses aren't necessarily going to be viable in those areas, right? And so we open up these businesses, we take all of that capital and we pump it in, right? And we never actually, when I say do the books, I mean that very literally. What does it cost versus what's coming in? When do I expect to turn a profit?
What are my monthly expenses?
Right. And so what happens is we open a new business, it's a shiny toy.
Yep.
And the line is around the corner.
For about 2 weeks.
And I was getting ready to say, and in 2 weeks, you struggling to get customers in on a Wednesday. Right?
Now you're doing all kinds of specials.
Now you're
doing two for ones. Go ahead out these coupons.
And what you recognize, by month two, right, is that, oh shit, I can't even pay my bills.
Yeah. Right.
Like, now I got to dig into my capital, right? And then you think, oh, maybe I should go get a loan. Well, you're basically going in to show paperwork on a failing business at this point, and asking them to give you some bread with no collateral, with nothing to say. So it becomes, it's a bit of a cat and mouse game to some degree. It's very, very difficult. So that's why you see, like, if you ever notice, man, you see, like, barbers and hair salons. Like, yo, nigga, they will move. Like,
quickly.
Every year or two, they, like, dude, you in a different location every year or two.
Yeah.
How you expect to get consistent walk-ins? How you expect to,
I don't know where you are.
So it's interesting to see how that plays out. But that's definitely something that I've noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, and in New York City, obviously, is like really, you know, expensive real estate, and so, you know, big boys is here playing, man. So, you know, that's Whole Foods in Harlem. It's not a joke, man. They're not playing.
They're gonna wait you out.
Yeah,
they're gonna wait you. If you're a mom and pop shop, it's gonna be very, very difficult for you to. So if you're a coffee shop, Starbucks finna outlast you.
Exactly. Yeah. They're gonna ride that wave.
Because they can rock no profit in that store for 2 years.
Easy. Yep.
And not blink.
Easy. Yep.
They're actually coming in prepared
to be in the red for a couple years.
And that's usually when you see the Starbucks, the change happened.
Yeah.
You didn't know it.
Right. Yeah.
You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
But the change has already happened.
What all those big retailers do is also they watch each other.
Yeah.
So Starbucks comes in and then, you know, Whole Foods will sit back for a year or so and be like, and you know, someone make a call and be like, how'd y'all do? Pretty good. Okay, cool. Let's start looking around.
And then all of a sudden they watch that median income.
Yep.
And that median income goes from 35 to 43 and then to 56 You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's how they monitor, yep. You know, ownership, owner occupancy on buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is in development? What's mm-hmm. not in development? So, yeah, you're right.
And that Whole Foods at home, stay packed.
Well, so, see where it is.
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be fine. Like, it's crowded. Like, so people kind of thought, ain't nobody going to be going to spend all that money. That joint is always packed.
But let me ask you this. The Whole Foods on 125th Street, are the prices cheaper than
that? I heard that the prices are a little cheaper.
Okay.
And what they, I don't know if they're still doing this, but initially when they opened up, they were also dealing with a lot of local businesses. Like people who make juice, so like people who grow, you know, produce. They were like, you know, reaching out and getting their stuff into the community. So it's like we're going to be in the community, but we also want to help other people in the community make money too. So I think they still do that. I think they still do that.
Whole Foods does that in general.
Everywhere, right?
The goal of Whole Foods is to have sustainable products that are like in the area.
Okay.
Right? The goal is to always is for products to not have to go as far to reach their shelves.
I got things, so things they won't spoil and all that.
Yeah, well, and also too that's a part of the community, right? Like they want to be able to support those businesses and give them shelf space, and you know, people are more likely to support the guy who, you know, makes the shit from up the street.
Yeah, Mr. Rubin who makes the chicken sandwiches down the block.
Exactly.
They saw Mr. Rubin chicken sandwiches in Whole Foods now. So that's it. I think we're going to wrap up on that note. Thank you for coming.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yes, we appreciate it.
That's cool. Enjoyed your talk on...
We ain't getting a chance to give our shout-outs.
Go ahead, give your shout-outs.
I'm going to give my shout-outs to my friends that listen to the podcast. They're all fans. So,
nice.
Tracy Jackson out of Detroit. Michelle Smalls in Brooklyn. I know you're surprised to hear us on here. And Kaisha Kelly from the Pop Closet. Give her a nice
shout-out.
You have
shout-out. Any shout-outs?
No shout out.
You low.
Like Sean.
I don't know. I don't know nothing like that. See, I said we're going to wrap up, and we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.